Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, we welcome you to this program, Al Fiqhu ala al Madahib al Arba'ah, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. Today's date is the 4th of Jamaad al Ula, 1443, corresponding to the date the 9th of December 2021. We continue with the marriage series with specific focus on Iddah. Our Honorable Mufti Saab is here. Mufti Saab, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa ana Zaid Khan. Jazakallahu khairan. Alhamdulillah, today is the 4th of Jumad al-Ula 1443, and we welcome the listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Mufti Saab, we have our questions here. The first question is, what is the literal meaning of Iddah?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala Rasulihi al-Kareem, Amma ba'd, all praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Any issue we want to discuss, first and foremost, our point of reference must be the noble Quran, and remember thereafter we go to the Sunnah Mubarakah and the teaching, preaching of the Master Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then the sayings, fatawa, verdicts of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So the word Iddah means to count. So you see in chapter 9, verse 36, Almighty Allah uses the word Inna iddata shuhuri inda Allah na ashara shahra fi kitabillahi yawma khalaqa samawati wal ard. Verily, the number of months by Almighty Allah is prescribed, ordained in the book of Almighty Allah, the day He, Almighty Allah, created the universe, are 12 lunar months. So that means to count. And if you look at the verb in the present tense, future tense, wa in ta'uddu ni'matallahi la tuhsuha, that if you start counting the bounties, favors of Almighty Allah, you will never be able to encompass it, because every bounty of the droplets of rain, you take easy example, who can count how many droplets of rain? And then we look at our anatomy, we look at the micro, the macro, ourselves, then our family, and then the world, and everything else beyond our perception, comprehension. So all that is the mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. And so we have the Iddah. Iddah is called the Masdar, the verbal noun in English. And then you take Ta'uddu, so that will be the verb in the present tense, future tense. And then if you study the word MashaAllah in the past tense, that also you will find in the Quran Sharif, where you study Almighty Allah Jalla Wala speaking about on the day of Qiyamah in Surah Maryam, لَقَدْ أَحْصَاهُمْ وَعَدَّهُمْ عَدَّ. See, so we gave you the past tense, the present tense, and we gave you the verbal noun, and that is what we'll call the Masdar. So here Almighty Allah says that Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, لَقَدْ أَحْصَاهُمْ, Allah Ta'ala has counted them, and wa'addahum adda, counted them exactly, properly, no addition, no omission, nothing. So you will see ahsa means the pebbles. Actually, if you go to philology and history of the words, so Allah Ta'ala counted them, so Allah don't need no computer, no calculator, nothing. And then for further emphasis, wa'addahum adda. So this is mentioned in Surah Maryam, chapter 19, verse 94. So that is what you need to do when you want to analyze words. So first you go and look at the past tense, the future tense, present future tense. You look at the verbal noun, subhanallah, all are mentioned in the noble Quran. So from there we will understand the literal meaning of Iddah in the lexicon, in the dictionary, and so forth. So that is how we we come to know the true meaning of that word literally.
Mufti Saab, the next question is, what is the technical meaning of idda and when does it apply?
Remember, the technical meaning and the meaning according to Sharia will be when a husband divorces his wife, then she will have to go into idda. In 99% of the cases after the divorce, idda will be compulsory upon the lady. The only time we will say idda is not compulsory, therefore I use the term 99%. So idda will be compulsory whether the lady is young or is old or whatever the case is, whether they're living together or not or whatever you. So the only time we find that iddat will not be compulsory in the case of talaq, in the case of divorce, Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala has mentioned in the Noble Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu idha nakahtumul mu'minat, that oh you who believe, you the men. So now when you believe and you married the lady, obviously, Adam and Eve, we don't have no other definition. That is the definition of the satanic groups, that Adam and Eve and Adam and Steve and Madam and Eve. And today, if you understand geopolitics, you will understand the enemies of Islam and the traitors and the murtads in Islam, the people who are Muslim and denounce Islam, they have a hidden agenda. They want the LGBT to permeate and enter the Muslim countries, Arab countries, and so forth, and it will be considered as something normal, Allah forbid. So Islam condemns that absolutely and totally, and says it's punishable by death, the gay brigade and so forth. Anyway, that's a topic for another day. So yeah, Almighty Allah states, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu idha nakahtumul mu'minat, that when you married that Muslim lady, thumma tallaqtumuhunna, then you gave her talaq. So the husband got married to her now, 11 o'clock, there was some argument or what have you, Allah forbid, and he, the husband, divorced her. Min qabli an tamassuhunna, before even touching her, fama lakum alayhinna min iddatin ta'taddunaha, then there is no iddat for her. Famatti'uhunna wasarrihuhunna sarahan jameela, so either then you take her back, or either you release her, and release her with beauty. So this is chapter 33, verse 49. What does Almighty Allah mean, min qabli an tamassuhunna, before you even touched her? Meaning you did not spend the day or the night together, you didn't have khalwa, there was no privacy. So you translate it in three different ways. You did not touch her physically, you did not go into khalwa, privacy with her, and so forth. And third one, daytime, nighttime, you didn't sleep together. So there was no physical contact at all. So in a case like that, then there's no iddat upon that lady there. So that's the first scenario. And remember all other cases that there will be iddat and that will be compulsory. And the verse I recited now is in Surah Ahzab, chapter 33, verse 49. So we need to understand there are different scenarios and different cases. So let us start with this one here, that the husband and wife were living and they're together, maybe they have children or no children, so that will not impact, remember, really on the iddat. So the masla will remain the same, so and the issue will remain the same. So when the husband then the married to arouse in ructions, the husband issued one or two or three talaq, so the iddat will be, Quran Kareem states, wal mutallaqatu yatarabbasna bi anfusihinna thalathata quru, that you, the ladies who have been given the talaq, whether it's one, two or three talaq, then your waiting period, your iddat period will be thalathata quru, the three quru. Now you must know, in the Arabic language, we have certain words that are categorized as azdad. Azdad, hamza or alif, dhad, dal, alif, dal, dwiddun, singular, adad, the plural. One word and two opposite meanings. Like you heard from me on several occasions, people say Jazakallahu and they stop. So I say that's incomplete. If you say Jazakallahu, the meaning could be Allah reward you, and the meaning could also be Allah punish you. Therefore, we have to qualify it and say Jazakallahu, Jazakumullahu khaira. Allah reward you with the best. So understand that. So jaza is a word, one word with two opposite meanings. So similarly with Quru, chapter number 2, Surah Baqarah and verse 228. Now when the Hanafis and the Hanbali scholars went and they decided, now let us go investigate this word and so forth and so on. So they said Salasat Quru means 3 menses. Okay? So it means that you will give the talaq as a last resort, then in tuhur. We discussed this in Kitabu Talaq, the chapter on divorce, that in that period of cleanliness, where husband-wife did not have conjugal relationship, and then he issues the talaq. Then one menses comes, then again the tuhur, the clean period comes, then second menses comes, when that is finished, then period of cleanliness comes, then the third menses come. When the third menses finishes and expires, then we will say the iddat is finished. So that will be the Hanafi school, and remember the Hanbali school. So much so, if the husband issued the talaq whilst in menses, the woman, the wife was in menses, so that's sinful, but remember the talaq will be valid, but that menses will not be counted. So beside that menses, that lady, that mutallaqa, the divorced lady, will have to count another 3 menses. So many a time our ladies make all golmol, all mix up business. These are basic rules you must know. Then we go to the Malikis and the Shafi'is. So we ask them, what you say? Salatatu quru. So what does it mean? They say Salatatu adhar, 3 periods of cleanliness. So then we object that how will you have 3 periods of cleanliness? And because that will be difficult, they say no. They say as soon as the menses stop. You sure the menses has stopped? She takes the ghusl and now her compulsory bath and so forth. And now when the period of tuhur starts, the period of cleanliness starts, so then that husband there, remember, issues the talaq. So when he issued the talaq right in the beginning of the clean period, so that will be one, and then menses, then the clean period, then the menses, then the clean period. And when that clean period is finished and the menses starts, finish now, so that is how they will have the iddat expiring. So the Malikis and the Shafi'is say Salatatu quru means 3 periods of cleanliness. So that is what the word. Therefore you have ikhtilaf and difference of opinion sometimes. Now somebody might argue and ask, but why is the iddat upon this lady here? So Allah gives one reason. وَلَا يَحِلُّ لَهُنَّ أَن يَكْتُمْنَ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ فِي أَرْحَامِهِنَّ إِن كُنَّ يُؤْمِنَّ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. So this is one of the multi reasons, chapter number 2, verse 228, that Islam says that the lady must go into the iddat period, waiting period, because it's not permissible for her, the lady who's divorced, to conceal and hide what Allah has created in a womb. If she has iman, complete faith in Almighty Allah and the last day, meaning in all the articles of faith. So here it is showing us that one reason why there is iddat, maybe the lady is pregnant. So when that menses come, cleanliness come, menses come and so forth, so we know definitely now she's not pregnant. There is no possibility of ikhtilatul ansab. There is no possibility of the contamination and adulteration of the lineage. Islam places great emphasis on that. We must know exactly who is the father of the child, who is the mother, and so forth. Therefore, Islam does not allow surrogacy. Islam does not allow all this type of thing, that the lady, the lineage goes to her. That will only happen, the lineage goes to the mother in the case of bees, illegitimate children. So see how many discussions come out. Second reason, why did Islam impose that when there is a talaq or when there is death, the husband passes away, then there is iddat? Because remember, marriage in Islam is sacrosanct. In this world, I perform a nikah, and for real, this weekend I got a nikah, I even forgot about it. Lucky they reminded me. And inshallah. So you also perform nikah, Mawlana Zahid. So ordinary mortals like us. But Surah 44, verse 54, Almighty Allah teaches us, وَزَوَّجْنَاهُمْ بِحُورٍ عِينٍ, that Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala, He is the one that will perform the nikah of the people in Jannah with the beautiful damsels and women of Jannah. So this institution of nikah is sacrosanct. It will continue even in the year after. See, I give you three C's. We buy a car, we buy a computer, we buy a cell phone. You don't need witnesses. Same time I bought it, I can go sell it, I can trade it in, I can exchange it if that person agrees, and so forth and so on. So that is a direct transaction that we do, willing buyer, willing seller. But in Islam, marriage is sacrosanct. I need two male witnesses. We need the girl's father or her guardian to give permission. وَأَخَذْنَا مِنْكُمْ مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا, and the women have taken from you a solemn pledge. So Allah's name has been taken so that strange lady can be halal and permissible for you, and you, the strange man, can be permissible for her. So to maintain the sanctity of marriage and nikah, Islam has brought about these laws of idda and so forth. So that's a great, great wisdom. You see the non-Muslim culture today, divorce, next day they're hopping in bed with somebody else, the satanic system. So remember, know that in that way there, therefore you will see their marriage and their divorce all have become a mockery and a joke. So Islam teaches us the sacredness of it must be maintained. So that is how. So that is when the woman is, remember, receiving menses. But say she's not receiving menses, an old buddy, he got married to his wife, and now remember that he is suddenly old but not cold. He decided that he wants to get married to somebody else and divorce this old lady who's 60, 65 years old, Allah forbid. So in that case there, the Quran Kareem states, Salatatu Ashhur. So the iddat will be 90 days. The iddat will be 90 days because she is in the case of menopause. So all this is enshrined in the noble Quran and in Surah 65, in Surah Talaq, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala has mentioned this. Similarly, if that woman, remember, is pregnant, then remember in Islam, whenever the woman is pregnant, then the iddat will be when the iddat will expire, when she gives birth and so forth. So we must be clear on all these issues. Quran says, وَأُولَاتُ الْأَحْمَالِ أَجَلُهُنَّ أَن يَضَعْنَ حَمْلَهُنَّ, that the iddat will expire for the woman who's pregnant when she gives birth. So therefore, this both are mentioned in chapter 65. If you open, you will find in Surah 65, verse number 4, Almighty Allah has mentioned, for the lady who's menopause, the iddat will be 90 days, 3 months. And if the lady is pregnant, then when she gives birth, that will be the expiry of her iddat.
Mufti Sahab, the next question is interesting, and it's, why is the iddah only for women and not for men?
Remember, the man can have 2, 3, 4 wives, so the woman cannot have 2 husbands, 3 husbands, 4 husbands at one time. And one reason I gave you already, that is always fear that if you allow the woman to get married immediately, then maybe she's pregnant, she conceived, that will lead to the adulteration of the lineage. And second reason I mentioned, it will undermine the sacredness of the institution of of nikah. And third one is for the betterment of the lady. The lady, you see today, the women are normally very emotional. So now, if hypothetically, for argument's sake, we allow the woman that today husband divorced her, tomorrow, day after, she gets a proposal, get married, hypothetically. So we know it can't happen like that, but just example. So it will be a knee-jerk reaction. It will be that second husband proposing to her on the rebound. So she may be just out of revenge or out of her emotions to show that first husband, her ex-husband, a point. Yes, I will fix him up. Let me just get married to this person here. So Islam took all these factors into consideration and said, no, marriage is something very important. It's your life partner and so forth. So therefore, Islam brought all these iddat and so forth. So when you make your decision, it must not be a knee-jerk reaction. It must not just be based on your emotions or on revenge and so forth. It must be a well-calculated decision. You are happy. Your parents are happy. Therefore, Mustafa, Habibuna Rahmatulil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La nikaha illa bi waliyin, that nikah is not valid except with the consent of the wali, whether the lady is bakira or thayyiba, whether she is a virgin or a matron. Even in this case here, the nikah will not be valid. That when the husband divorced her and she just gets married without the permission of her father or brother or somebody. So we need to understand Islam holistically and not selectively according to our worm's fancies and desires.
Mufti Sahib, what is the idda if the husband passes away?
Remember, if the husband passes away, then the idda, all this is mentioned in the Noble Quran. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us, informs us, وَالَّذِينَ يُتَوَفَّوْنَ مِنْكُمْ وَيَذَرُونَ أَزْوَاجِهَا يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ أَرْبَعَةَ أَشْهُرٍ وَأَشْرًا. So when the husband, he passes away, he left a wife or wives, 2, 3, 4 wives, maximum is 4, then the iddat period for her or for all these ladies, 2, 3, 4 wives, will be 4 months and 10 days. This is how you must understand it. From time of death, now today, this person passed away at 11:30, for example, the husband, and irrespective of which calendar you use, you say Islamic calendar, the 4th of Jumad al-Ula, 1443, or you say 9th of December, 2021, the end result will be the same. So from time of death, remember you count 130 days, 130 days, so that will be the iddat. So one day today, from 11:30 till tomorrow, 11:30 one day, like that you'll count. So 130 days, so that is the iddat. Number 2, if the lady passes away any day of the Islamic month, so beside the ghurratu shahrin, the beginning of the month, so then you work with 130 days. But let's take example. So now we are still in the beginning of this month here, Jumad al-Ula. Say the husband passed away this Monday year. This Monday that passed. So that was the 1st of Jumad al-Ula. So in a case like that, then you don't work with 130 days. So when the husband passes away on the 1st of the Islamic lunar month, then this is how you will calculate it. Now you don't calculate 130 days. You calculate, now you say, Jumad al-Ula, 1 month. Jumad al-Akhirah, 2nd month. Then you say Rajab, 3rd month. Then you say Shaban, 4th month. And then you say 10 days of Ramadan. When the 10 days of Ramadan finishes, so we will say that now she's out of iddat. So irrespective whether the months are 29 days or whether it's 30 days. So the only time you will take the months, Islamic months, into consideration, when he, idha tu wufiya fi ghurrati shahr, when he, the husband, passed away in the beginning of the Islamic lunar month, then you will work and calculate like how I told you now. Another issue, which people, wa nasu ana ghafilun, that people are unmindful. They confuse and they blow their fuses in the process. That I gave you the one masla already, and I cited it, the ayat and everything. When a husband and wife, they got married, they had an argument or whatever happened, and there was no privacy, there was no physical contact, and they did not spend the day or night together, nothing. Then in that case there is no iddat upon that lady if the husband gave her talaq in divorce. However, in the case of death, husband and wife got married, then they just looked at one another. The husband looked at the beauty and he was dazzled by her beauty. He said, "Oh my poppy, oh my darling, oh my sweetheart, you look so beautiful." And then cardiac arrest. He died, then he passed away. Inna lillahi. Yeah. So still the wife will have to go into iddat. So remember, in the case of iddatul wafat, in the case of iddatul maut, that where the husband passed away, dakhala biha aw lam yadkhul, whether the marriage was consummated or not, in all cases, she will have to go into iddat, that is this lady here, and that's compulsory. So we need to draw that distinction, and we need to understand. Another issue also related to this will be that sometime I know of instances, and then I had to tell them and so forth, and then they had to rectify it. Sometime our people do crazy things. Husband ABC gave his wife talaq, one talaq or two talaq or three talaq, whatever the case is, or the husband passed away. So the fact remains, this lady is in idda. So you will say she's a mu'tadda. She is in idda. So the iddat has not expired. She's still in idda. Mr. another Tom, Dick and Harry, Mr. Muslim came. So a Muslim came and he tuned her family up, and he said, "Ya Haru, get married." So nikahul mu'taddati batilun. If anybody got married to a lady, I'm not speaking now of the husband who divorced her. So you must remember, we're speaking of a third party. So if that third party got married to her while she was in the iddat of talaq of divorce, or iddatul wafat of death, that nikah is totally null and void. And once we come to know about it, we must tell them to separate immediately, and when the iddat expires, then a new nikah must take place, and all that they love together, they were living in sin, and Allah's curse is on both parties. So important it is for us to understand all these issues here. Otherwise, instead of getting reward, we live under the curse of Almighty Allah. Allah protect us.
Ameen. Mufti Sahib, the next question is, what happens if a woman is in iddah because of talaq, and then the husband passes away while she's in iddah of talaq?
So now you got two iddahs running, isn't it so? Sure. It means that the husband gave his wife talaq, right? And then while she's in talaq and divorce, yeah, the husband felt so sad or whatever. Obviously, we will say as Muslims that death comes on the appointed time, whether you're on ventilator or not, whether you took vaccine or not, whether whatever it is. Chapter 63, verse number 11, وَلَيْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. No person gets respite and extension of time when the time of death comes. Every person, he or she, adult or child, passes away on the appointed time. Chapter 63, verse 11 is very clear. And that is our unanimous belief. We have consensus on that. There are no two opinions on that issue. Now let's make this a case study. ABC husband, he divorced his wife, one or two or three, whatever. And now the wife is in iddat. So during that iddat period, that husband passes away. Nobody to cook for him, nobody to give him massage and what have you and so forth. So bichara, he passed away. Now what is the iddat? So you must remember, abadul ajalain. Abadul ajalain will mean which one of the two is longer. So we will look at the 3 menses. It's not necessary every woman that every month she gets her menses. So this lady here, she gets her menses, you must remember, every second month, for example. So now in the first month, this husband passed away. So remember that now her iddat, if you take the talaq one, is going to go to 6 months because she gets her menses every second month. So remember that. And if you take the iddat of wafat, is 4 months, 10 days. So which one is the longer one? So if her 3 menses will finish after 6 months, and her iddat of death is 4 months, 10 days, 130 days, so there you will work on 6 months. If the lady is such, she gets her menses regularly, normally, and so forth, so like normally 3 months, so there is not exactly 3 months, is more or less whatever, we just say 3 months. So just for our purpose here. So, and we know the iddat for death is 4 months, 10 days, 130 days. So we will take abadul ajalain, atwalul ajalain, the longer of the two period. So we will work on 130 days. So what the lady must know, the iddat is compulsory upon her. One is the iddat of talaq, divorce. And one is the iddat of wafat. So whichever one of the two, they both will run concurrently, but whichever one is the longer one, so that will be the iddat she has to sit for. And then when that period, the longer one, finishes, then her iddat will expire. So that is how we understand the masla. And this big story, a debate, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and Sahaba had, and so forth. So anyway, so that is the fatwa regarding that issue.
Mufti Sahab, the next question is, in iddah, if the husband passes away, will the wife inherit or not?
Yes, the wife will inherit. Remember that, that's a good question. That husband gave his wife 1 talaq, 2 talaq, and so forth. So, and now he passed away, the husband. So the wife will inherit in that instance. That is what you call talaqul far. Talaqul yafarra yafirru. Quran says, yawma yafirru al-mar'u min akhi. So sometimes people want to do things to cause harm to people, you see. So now this marriage was a rocky marriage, you see, that's what you will call in English. The husband in the marriage is on the rocks, and the husband is in the dock, you see. So like that. So what we'll call it? A rocky marriage. So this husband knows now, the doctors told him or whatever, that you, it's just matter of time, and then you will expire. If you go to India, Pakistan, that's the word they use there. Therefore, I'm just using it also. So that you ask them, bhai, mujhe ye aadmi se milna hai. I want to meet this person. They will tell you, nay, what to expire ho gaya. You see, he expired. So our people don't say, what is talking expired? Meaning he passed away. But they don't say he passed away. They'll say, well, expired ho gaya. So his time, limit got finished. So he expired ho gaya. So now he expired, meaning he passed away. You see, so in a case like that. So now the doctors told him, the medical fraternity, whatever. Obviously, we don't say that what they say is 100% the truth. I know so many incidents that the doctor told him that you got 3 months, 6 months left. He's still living and the doctor passed away. You understood? So all that. So we don't know all that. But just as a clue, like you see. So the doctor told him, you don't have long time to live, and so forth and so on. So what? In a marriage, now remember the first point I made. The marriage was rocky. The husband on the marriage on the rocks, and the husband in the docks. Now he doesn't want this wife, you must remember, to inherit, because she gave him beans and he made trouble for her and lot of problems and all. So in that last stages, sakarat and what have you, you see, the last week, last month, whatever, he decided to give her talaq. You see, what he did? He gave her talaq. What was the intention of that? So Quran Kareem, you see, anything you want, we must go to Quran Sharif, go to a Hadith Mubarakah. Go to Quran Kareem, Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse 12. Almighty Allah speaks of inheritance and say, غَيْرَ مُدَارٍ. غَيْرَ مُضَار. You must not be causing harm to people in the process. Now you can't say that I want to make wasiya for this lady. You see, but that lady, when we made investigation, she was that person's mistress. So he says, no, I want to bequeath for her 100,000 rand, 10,000 rand and so forth. And he wants the share to come for his children or his wife or so forth must be decreased, and for his girlfriend, for his mistress must be increased. So she's not entitled to anything. So like that. So there the intention is to cause harm. Mustafa Rahmatul Lil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith mentioned Muwatta'a Malik, sahih hadith, authentic hadith. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, la dharara wa la dirar. Don't cause harm to yourself and don't cause harm to others. See, today, that on news, BBC, I heard it myself, they said New Zealand is now introducing a law that any person who's 14 years old and younger, so now will not be able to buy cigarettes and smokes and so forth. So they want in that person's life, once he's 14 years and younger, so he must never smoke because it's harmful for him, harmful for the environment. Now all this Islam spoke about 1400 years ago and more. So remember, Islam said la dharara wa la dirar. The hadith is mentioned by Imam Malik. Now bring this Quranic verse, bring this hadith sharif into the question now. So this husband is terminally ill, he is chronically ill, he knows it's a matter of time, and his marriage was not a good marriage, so he wants to cause her harm, he wants to run away with the talaq, so she does not inherit. So he gave her talaq, but we say no, she will inherit. So whatever the intention is, that she, the mu'tadda, the woman in iddat, she will inherit, whether it's talaqul wafat, where she's a widow, or where she is divorcee or whatever you. So in those cases, she will inherit from the estate of the husband. So you husbands, you need to understand all these type of issues properly. You can't be fighting and so forth or dictating from the grave and all that. So many times we find all these type of things lead to big problems. Then the children are fighting, the heirs are fighting, and some will be siding with the mother, some will be siding with the father. The house is burning because the lamp in the house, you must remember, was left on and it started burning. So that is a saying in Urdu. So the point I'm making here is put all our ducks in a row and tie up our loose ends, and therefore it's of paramount importance. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Abu Dawood, yabitu laylataini illa wa wasiyatuhu maktubatun indahu. O Muslim, O Muslimah, don't allow even two nights to pass, but your last will and your final will and testament should be ready and prepared. We allow 20, 40, 60, 70 years to go by, and we say that Nariganas, Tayakare, Onsal Rehmak, you understand? We will fix up. I gave you in 4 or 5 languages there. So all this is totally un-Islamic and not permissible.
Mufti Sahib, who is responsible for the expenditure of the lady while in Iddah?
When the husband has divorced his wife, then remember the expenses during the iddah will be the husband's responsibility. Therefore, I tell the ladies, where the husband is not paying, and what can we do? We can't do anything. What can the jamiyats do? They can't do anything. So we don't have executive power and so forth. We only advisory capacity. So the husbands take advantage of that. So they don't pay their ex-wives and so forth during that period. So you must take him to court, remember that, and claim. But the woman today, some of them, they want to claim for the iddat and the post-iddat period, even after iddat, that's haram. So you can't be claiming more than what you're entitled to. So we also must understand that. So yes, you must remember in Islam, all these contingent emergency planning, emergencies. Islam has brought about laws, rules, regulations. So you, the husband, you're still responsible for her. That you have to give her laha as-sukna an-nafaqa. You have to pay the rental of a house. You have to pay the water, lights, the food, the clothing, whatever. All that expenses is still upon you, O husband. So not upon the wife's family. It's upon you, the husband's family. The husband himself, the ex-husband, let's call him. So he is responsible for all these type of things.
Mufti Sahib, if the wife is in the house of the ex-husband and still in iddah, does the wife have to still cook for the husband?
Remember, leave the cooking part. Let us go to one more important than that. When the wife is there in the same house with the husband after the talaq, now how can that happen? So we will say that that will happen in talaq-e raj'i, in a revocable divorce. Therefore, we discuss talaq in detail, and then, like, first you discuss isha, and then you discuss witr salat. So that is why it did come after. After that, so I gave you all the important laws regarding related to talaq and divorce and so forth. So we told you that when the husband issues one or two talaqs, you must remember that 229 surah 2 verse 229, Almighty Allah speaks of that. At-talaqu marratan fa imsakum bima'rufin aw tasrihum bihsan. So when the husband gave one talaq raj'i, revocable, vacant, take his wife back during the iddat without a new nikah, or he gave her two talaq raji, revocable, he can still take his wife back during the iddat period without a new nikah. And if the iddat expires and they want to reconcile, they can reconcile, but remember with a new nikah. And if he gave one talaq and they reconcile, then two talaqs he still possesses. If he gave two talaqs, then his one talaq, remember that it will be still left in his account, meaning he still has in his possession. Now, the question will arise. This is the question we have to address, very important. That wife, now the expenditure is all upon the husband, right? The ex-husband, let's say, because he issued one or two talaq. So she, the wife, how much she dress? Because she's living there in her husband's house or her house, but they're living together. So in a case like that, she must dress smartly, beautifully, and she must try and seduce her husband. Remember that the husband must appreciate, but look at my wife, how beautiful she still is, even after 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and so forth and so on. And now, that's why I said cooking story we'll give afterwards. So first dress up neatly, smartly, and win the heart of your husband. And you want to win him more, so you cook nice food, what he likes, that you like. He likes akni, he likes biryani, he likes, you understand, fish, he likes this, he likes that. So cook all that there. So he must realize, but how can I be such a crazy guy to give his wife talaq and so forth? Just see that what nice food she's cooking, exquisite meal, as they say, and then so beautifully she's dressing. So automatically he will feel inclined to you. When your eyes meet and eye contact, then the bodies will meet, and then he will tell you, better I take you back. So he does that verbally, or he kisses you and so forth and so on. So in that way also, especially Hanafis will say he made a ruju, he took his wife back. And Shafis say no, there must be verbal announcement of it as well, not only via actions and so forth. Anyway, that's academic discussion. So now that's how you will win your husband back. But remember, the divorces he gave, one or two, that will not be abrogated, cancelled. That will still remain. So for future purposes, if he gave one, then two are still left. If he gave two, then one is still left. So that is what we need to understand. So yes, we will encourage the wife, when the husband gave her one talaq raji, revocable, or two talaq raji, she mustn't leave the home and go to her brother or parents' home. She must stay there in the house. Hamara kam jorna hai na ke torna. Our aim is to make the home and not to break the home, more so when there are children and all that involved. So in a case like that, as far as possible, we will tell her, stay in the house, make the home and make the marriage work again. And remember that she should beautify herself, cook for the husband, carry on as normal, but no husband-wife relationship and all that, until and unless as he announces that he's taking her back, or he touches her and so forth, kisses her a peck on the neck, as they say. So like that, he said, no, you know what, I made mistakes, so let me. So Allah is also giving him another chance, you know, two chances Allah is giving him. So therefore, we should understand the maslaha, the benefit and the beauty and the mahasin of Islam, that Islam wants to save the homes and make the homes wa sulhu khair, and not break the homes.
Mufti Sahib, if the husband passes away while they're both overseas and few days have passed, when will the iddah of this woman actually start?
Let's just crystallize and make this question clear. Husband, wife went for Umrah. Husband, wife went to Hong Kong for business, China, and here and there. Lo and behold, when they were overseas, there the husband died, and he passed away. So they buried him there where he was, right? So in Makkah, then in Makkah, or Medina, or Hong Kong, or India, wherever. So he passed away there. Then by the time that wife came home was 3, 4, 5 days, 1 week. Now, from when will the iddah start? From the time of death, or from the time she reached her matrimonial home where she was living with her husband? No. From the time of death it starts. Remember that always iddatul wafat, iddatul maut will start, remember, from the time when the death took place. So not by the time you travel and came home and all. No. From the time of death. Another one. Last week, I think we had that question on Q&A. There's a person, he's drowned, they can't find the body, and 8 days or 10 days or something like that, the body is not retrieved. So the lady asked, what must I do? So I told her, in Islam we have al-mawtu haqiqatan and we have al-mawtu hukman. One is death takes place in front of you, the ruh, the soul, everything separated, emanated, doctors came, they satisfied that he or has passed away, the husband. So obviously your iddah starts from then. But now in a case like that, we're not sure. Every day the divers are going in trying to retrieve the body. 1 week, 10 days, 20 days have passed and nothing. So we will say that assumption of death. You called it al-mawtu hukman. So assumption of death. So we will say from the time he drowned, the husband, 10 days ago, 20 days ago, 15 days ago, what? From that day onwards, you start counting your iddah. So you can be different scenarios in this case here. So from the time he passed away really, or it is assumption of death, from that day you will count. That is how the iddah will be calculated.
Mufti Sahib, after the iddah, the woman feel they have to go out. What is the ruling with regards to this?
This is our Indian culture. You must remember that our Indians, when they came 150, 160 years ago or more, plus minus, so from India, they came from the Kolwar and Dabel and Rander and Porbandar and Banwar and wherever. So all these gams they came from, you see, those villages. So I visited them. Fascinating. You must go, Maulana, if you get the chance. You know your gam. So you must ask your father, grandparents, and them if they allow. So in our family, I'm the only one. My brothers, they didn't go. They passed away. My sisters didn't go. My parents didn't go. So I said, no, I must go and go look at my, find my roots, you know. So this type of thing. Fascinating it is. Long story. Anyway, leave all that now. So now when our people came, so they came steamer Hati Awa. You know the steamer? Steamer is, they came by ship, you see. The Garanja and Das and all this, the SS Garanja. So all that happened, then they brought one Lal Kitab, one red book they brought. All 90% fairy tales, concocted things, fabricated lies and all these things. So in there you will find this type of things. So let me give you a case study. ABC husband passed away. This woman, now she's 100%. Properly, she went in the iddah, everything, you understood, 130 days. So now the daughters, the sons are saying, Ummi, that you know tonight your iddah is finishing. We must take you out. You must come to my house. You must come to that house. This. Then they say, okay, if you can't go tonight, then tomorrow you must. They're all Indian custom tradition. It got nothing to do with Sharia that. There's no such thing in Islam that when the iddah expires, then the woman must go out of her house. So what must she do? If she doesn't do that, she doesn't have to do that, what must she do? She must start applying iddah finish now. So 12 o'clock, so finish, she applying henna, mehndi. She start wearing new clothes. clothes and so forth. She started wearing her jewelry and so forth. So then everybody knows now the iddat is finished. So that is what Islamically and Sahabiyat used to do and so forth. Thus our Indian custom tradition, if they go out with the son or daughter, son-in-law, is permissible. That we got no objection. But the way that the masla is presented nowadays, it's like making it compulsory. You must go out. Iltizamu malam yelsam. So that's totally wrong. There's no must going out business. So remember, she can stay there, go after 1 week, after 10 days, whatever. There's no such thing immediately that she must go out and so forth. So that's a huge misconception. We call that the Lal Kitab. You understand? Stories from the Red Book, which are all fairy tales and fabrications. Okay, Jazakallah khair. Inshallah, we'll send the podcast out. Very, very important issues discussed there. And remember, on Sundays between 6 and 7, we have a repeat of this program. So you can listen to it, mashallah. Okay, 12 o'clock, the news with Brother Yusuf Ali. Then a nice program here by Mona Harun, rahmatullah alayh, the power of speech, Mona Harun Abbas Umar, who was the imam there in Springo Beach for 42 years. Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus between 12 and 1. 1 o'clock, Zohar Azan, 1:05 to 1:30, the report back, that is of Monday, my trip to Cape Town, our trip there, so the repeat of it. 1:30 to 2, Surah Nahal, chapter 16, and verses 17 to 25. 2 to 3, Madrasa on Aim on Azahid Khan. 3 to 3:30, the repeat of this morning's Q&A. Very interesting. A lot of non-Muslims contacted us, mashallah. 3:30 to 4, Surah Qadr and Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri, Hafidhullah. And then 4 to 5, Surah Waqi'ah, Maulana Ridwan Kaji. 5 to 7 will be Maulana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30 will be, mashallah, today, the translation of the khutbah of last week, inshallah. And then 7:30 to 8, Maulana Yunus Patel's Nasiha. Speaking of Nasiha today, I must thank Maulana Ahmad Dokrat, Hafidhullah. We reached another milestone with the help and mercy of Allah. 2,200 Nasiha today. They were sent out already. So, mashallah, Allah reward our Maulana Ahmad Dokrat. Then 8 to 10, the discussion, Maulana Arafat and Maulana Salim Karim. And then 10 to 11, Sheikh Anwar al-Awlaki al-Shaheed. That is our program from now till tonight, inshallah. Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
We say Jazakumullahu khairan to Mufti Sahib and to all our listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaah. We head on for the news now. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaah.